Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
They're getting ready to have the horsies run around and have people bet on them. As Churchill Downs gets ready to open their September meet. And they got a cool thing going, which I don't want to steal the thunder of our next guest, who's going to tell you a little bit about it. Darren Rogers is going to join us here in just a moment from Churchill Downs, as there's a lot of interesting stuff happening. So as soon as Nick gives me the heads up, we'll get Mr. Rogers on to talk a little about this meet and about a nice thing they're going to do for a guy that seemingly was universally loved. So we'll talk to him about that. So are you going to have him join me, or what are you doing there? He's ignoring me again.
I'm on the phone. Just like every time you do that, I am on the phone.
Why don't you call the person before? They won't be mad holding a minute. It's okay. They'll be fine. Just tell them we're coming back in a minute, and then they'll enjoy the dulcet tones of your sports center, and they'll be very happy. So.
All right, we have Darren.
So now we have Darren, and now I can go. Because if not, then I start something, and then he comes in, and blah, blah, blah. Darren Rogers, how are you? Happy Monday. What the hell's today? Wednesday, and we get ready for another meet to open here at Churchill Downs. And I know you've got a lot of stuff to talk about the meet itself, but there's a nice thing you're going to be doing for our late friend. You want to tell the people about it?
Yeah, Bob, and by the way, thanks for having me on the show, and congrats for the progress you're making. It's always good to join
Thank you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day for us. Obviously, we're starting the 12-day September meet at 5 o'clock, but earlier in the day, we're going to have a public ceremony, dedication, and unveiling of statues that honor both John Asher and Colonel Matt Wynn. Matt Wynn,
wow.
Of course. Yeah, it's we made the announcement at the 2019 Kentucky Derby on Derby Day, and Raymond Graff, an outstanding artist and sculptor here in town, has been working on the statues, and they're going to be in the plaza area, right next to the saddling paddock. If you come out to Churchill Downs often, you know the jockeys walk down the stairs of the plaza balcony, mm-hmm. through the plaza, into the paddock entrance. It's right near that paddock entrance.
And okay.
It's going to be a horseshoe-shaped benches. It's a park-like setting, and sitting on those benches is Colonel Matt Wynn, who clearly is leading the conversation. And then John Asher, and he is intently listening with that infectious smile that he had. And John idolized Colonel Wynn, who was the general manager and president of Churchill Downs from the mid 1900s all the way through 1949 and his death. And he was known as Mr. Derby, and John idolized him. And I think this is just such a fitting tribute. And the ceremony is going to take place tomorrow at 11 a.m. It's open to the public. They can park in the red or white lots, come in free of charge, and come see this public unveiling. And members of John's family, along with descendants of Matt Wynn, the Harriman family, they will be here on hand, and I think it's just going to be an outstanding event, and perfect for both both individuals who promoted the Derby in Churchill Downs unlike any other.
Well, it's so cool on so many levels. I mean, Matt Wynn, I mean, you're talking about a legendary name in racing and certainly around here and for the Derby. And then for John to take his place alongside him is quite an honor for John, but especially, as you said, because John so appreciated the history of the event and, as you said, idolized him. That's just very, very awesome. And to put them really in that kind cool. of a setting is going to be cool. I can't wait to see it myself. So very,
yeah,
really, very
nice.
Yeah,
we've got to credit Kevin Flannery, our president, who retired at the end of last year. Kevin was the one who came up with the idea. He's going to be on hand for this this unveiling as well. And I just, you know, a few years ago, John went on, you know, that show that airs locally, Moxie Talk with Kurt Jacobs?
Mm-hmm.
John went on that show, I think it was in 2017. And at the end of every show, you know, Kurt Jacobs asked the guest, you know, when your time comes, and this is eerily because John passed away a year later, but when your time comes, you know, how do you want to be remembered? And, you know, John said his answer to that was, when I get to the great day, I'd be awfully happy if someone said Matt Wynn would have loved this guy. So I think it's just a fitting, isn't it amazing? So this is a fitting tribute to both individuals who are, you know, just tremendous promoters of Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby.
Matt Wynn is in the Racing Hall of Fame, and of course, you see his name splashed across a number of things at the
stadium. A pillar of the turf. Pillar of the turf.
Yeah, that's what it says right there. Pillar of the turf. I mean, you don't really want your horses running into pillars, but still, it's a nice. I think it's a. it's certainly a very appropriate tribute. So, tell me a little about this brief meet. What are the highlights, and what are we looking at here?
Yeah, this is the 9th annual September meet, and I think people are still discovering it for the first time. They think the fall meet, it's just starts and stops between now and Keeneland. But anyway, we'll run for a brief 3 weeks, Thursday through Sunday. We've got the Twilight Thursdays starting tomorrow, and that's just, I mean, it's outstanding with the dollar beers, the live music. We got the food trucks out. It's abbreviated 8-race program that goes from 5 until 8:30. That'll be for the next 3 Thursdays, and you know, I think it's one of the greatest things that we've done around here at Churchill Downs in recent years. The Lone Downs After Dark, presented by Budweiser, is on Saturday night, and that's in conjunction with University of Louisville's Louisville Live. So we've got horses and hoops, and that's going to be in the plaza area, setting up a half court right near where the stage is for the Twilight Thursday music. It's going to be such a fun event. I know that the U of L and our operations team here, they've worked very hard to put forth an outstanding event on Saturday in conjunction with the stakes races. I mean, we kick off the road to the Kentucky Derby Saturday night with the Iroquois. We've got some outstanding horses throughout this 3-week stand that you're going to see, you know, launched towards the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar on November 5th and 6th. We're 8 weeks out now. Saturday will mark 8 weeks from the Breeders' Cup, and you know, the we're going to see some top horses this weekend. Last year's Kentucky Oaks winner, She Dares the Devil, she's running in the Locust Grove on Saturday night. You're going to see two of the top filly and mare sprinters in the country, Bell's the One in Wisconsin. They're squaring off in the open mine. And then at the tail end of the meet, Bob, we've got the Lucas Classic, which is 5 weeks from the Breeders' Cup Classic. And the number one rated horse in America right now, Nick's Go, he's going to use that race as a stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup. So we're not short on stars around here. We've got some of America's greatest trainers stabled here. It's going to be a really fun, action-packed 3 weeks.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be something very special. I hope the it'll be great weather for every one of the racing nights. And again, if you're just joining us, the ceremony, if you want to be part of it, the unveiling of the statues for Matt Wynn and John Asher will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. It's open to the public and free of charge if you want to come and observe that. And then the meet starts tomorrow evening and should be, as we said, as Darren just told you, should be a lot of fun. First of the three Twilight Thursdays and Dollar Blue Moon Drafts, Dollar Select Beers. They got food trucks, live music. Gates open at 4. First race of 8 is at 5, and it should be a wonderful night. So we're looking forward to a wonderful, albeit brief, meet, and hopefully we'll have some, as I said, some great weather for you. So thanks, Darren. I appreciate you coming in and checking in with us.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs as they get ready for their September meet. So very, very cool.
Big fan of Darren Rogers.
No, yeah, he's been very good to us.
He's very, very, very good dude.
He used to do that show with John.
Yeah. Inside Churchill Downs, yeah.
It was good. It was a good program.
Yeah,
well, John was a former, I mean, they offered him the morning show job here in town.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a radio guy.
Well, I mean, with those pipes, I mean, it's, sure. You know. Makes sense. And also, I mean, the show still's going on with Kevin Kirstein, KK, and Scott Shapiro. They usually do it Fridays. I want to. I think they're doing it this weekend or this
you
week.
To,
it's six to seven on ESPN 680.
Drew says you can't put somebody on the air unless you tell them. But can you put like a recorded message? Because like I would like to do that right now. You can call Churchill and John answers the phone. I mean, John Asher's voice.
Well, here, give me the number, and I'll see if I can do it via our phone.
Let me
text me the number.
I can just tell it to you. It's not a secret. They'd like people to call them.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, here, let's do it.
The number is 636-4400.
Okay, let's see if this
works. A woman's going to answer. Hello, Churchill Downs. Oh, no. We wanted John's recording.
Is it going through? Do you hear anything?
I don't hear anything.
We're calling Churchill Downs.
There he is.
Legendary Kentucky Derby.
Find your trifecta this race meet at Churchill Downs.
No, not that guy. Do the other guy.
All about friends, fun, and racing. Live racing is on Thursday through Sunday from September 16th to October
3rd. No, that's not John.
For ticketing information.
Call it again.
To purchase tickets.
I think he just does the beginning.
I know, but did we get the beginning or did we miss it?
Here, I'll redial.
Yeah, do it again. It's like Bob Shepard with Derek Jeter. Yeah, here we go. Coming up on John.
Yeah, give it a sec. I think it's going through.
It's worth it.
We're calling Churchill Downs, home of the legendary Kentucky Derby.
Find your trifecta.
That's it. No disrespect. I don't know who the other guy is. So no disrespect to you, other man. But
get those great pipes.
Yeah, no, that was good.
There is a ton of text coming through, by the way. I've neglected the text line, and I am very, very, very sorry. The texts are saying, again, I only ever hear... We want an Olympics when Patty does the We Want to Know Wednesday.
We want an Olympics?
Yeah. No, we've done this before. It does actually sound like it. If you listen for
we
it.
We want to know Wednesday.
It
we
does
want
sound,
Olympics.
It does sound like
we
it.
Want
Wednesday.
We want to know Wednesday.
We
want to know Wednesday.
We want to know Olympics.
I don't hear that at all.
Sometimes I can hear it if I'm listening for it. You know, one of those, like, mind things.
Probably talking to the little man who lives inside his pants.
Let's see here. The flip side of the 45 was played backward.
Of that song.
They're Coming to Take Me Away.
They're Coming to Take Me Away.
It's on YouTube. I wonder what that sounds like. I might play that a little later. Let's see here. This is a good long one. On Louie Louie, the Let's Screw lyric originally happens before the guitar break. Although legend has it, all they did to correct it was bring up the vocals so they were more audible for the singer saying, "Let's go." The Doors loved that song and played it at many of their LA club shows before they became famous. Also, later in the 60s, at certain shows when Jim Morrison was too drunk to finish the show, they would play it with Ray Masurek, the keyboardist, singing it with Jim on backup. And wasn't Wooly Bully also banned on some stations for similar reasons?
I don't know. I haven't gone through my whole list. Let's go. I'll go
love the show and so happy to hear Bob back and sounding great. And you're great too, Nick. Go Pens. It was great. It was great until the end there. Also on Tom Petty's You Don't Know How It Feels, all they did to get the song radio playable was to take the drug referenced word in question, was to reverse the vocal so it sounds, so it kind of sounds like now. Let's roll another one. Now.
Simon remembers that song. Well, big Tom Petty fan. Yeah. Simon was just playing Wheel of Dog.
Ah, big fan.
Stop it, Simon. Simon says Wheel of Dog.
A lot of texters saying, you know, Animal House, Louie Louie's the best song for toga parties. Me and my buddy Neil Goodland, through some of the finest work we've ever done. I don't know. He was part of the honor guard in the Air Force and has a lovely family. So I imagine that's up there with him. Some of the best things he's ever done. But on senior trip, we started a toga party in the hotel, and he got the blessing of the teachers and everything. So it was some of our best work. I was very proud of us. Let's see here. When people talk about something happening at Louisville, that's not good. First thing everyone says, well, it happens everywhere. BS. Simon agrees.
Simon, stop barking. Here's a song. This is Lola was banned, not for the reason you might think, due to its narrative about a romantic encounter with a crossdresser. The actual reason, this was in England. They didn't do it here. The BBC banned the Kinks track is much stranger. The station felt that the lyrics, where they drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola, could count as free advertising, which was strictly against the BBC's rules for a non-commercial station. They forced the band to re-record the song with the lyrics changed to Cherry Cola.
This texter said that Louie Louie was banned, yet Funky Cold Medina is still allowed to play, and it's basically a song about a cocktail filled with roofies. So yeah, I didn't realize that. Another guy says the song Monster Mash was also banned for several years. We Want to Know Wednesday. It's kind of going a different direction here. Did you know that topping off your gas tank is bad for the engine and it's a waste of gas? According to the EPA, gas stations come with a vapor recovery system.
Yep.
That once the gas tank is full, will feed gas vapors and gasoline from the pump back into the station's tank to prevent vapors from escaping into the environment. I imagine that's not a good thing. So any excess gas pumped into your tank that you've already paid for can end up being drawn back into the gas station storage tanks. This process can also cause damage to the station's vapor recovery system and cause it not to work, according to the EPA. So don't top off your gas tanks, everybody. Right. This PSA brought to you by
We Want to Know Wednesday.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
All right. How about we take a break so I can try and calm the dog down? We'll come back. Stay with us. ESPN 680-1057.
Erectile dysfunction is...
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
There's some songs that you just look at and say, really? There was a song going all the way back to the 50s. It was a pretty big hit then. I was, as I said, I wouldn't remember it from that, but I've heard it in, like, compilations and things. Bobby Darin did a song called Splish Splash. Okay,
I was taking a bath.
Yeah, Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. Some stations banned it because the premise of the thing is Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. He emerges from the bathtub and walks into a party, starkers, as they would say in Britain.
Naked.
He doesn't know they're having a party, so he gets out and he walks in and he's starkers, and they thought that was too risque.
Who hasn't been there?
I mean, good Lord. That's a little bizarre. Oh, this song makes me sad when I listen to it, because I take it literally. The you know, this was thanks to our crazy politicians at that time. Vice President Spiro Agnew attempted to have Peter, Paul, and Mary's song Puff the Magic Dragon banned because he claimed it was about drugs. And they,
I kind of thought it was at first, too, but then
They've vehemently denied it. It was written, actually, I'm not even sure one of them wrote it. There's a story behind it. The lyrics were on a typewriter or something, a guy, and it was a child's, meant to be a children's parable kind of thing. And it's very sad. The little boy, Puff, is an imaginary dragon, and then the little boy gets older, and he has other toys, and probably
discovers
girls. Isn't
it kind of winning, losing your innocence a little bit?
Yeah, that's what it's really about.
Yeah,
that's
it's
what
sad.
It is. And Puff couldn't, without his best friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave.
Ah, oh, man, that makes me sad. Genuinely, that's one of the sadder songs.
Yeah.
That gets me right in the feels. This is your brand new brother. Cats in the Cradle, and I'm trying to, there's like another one that I basically cry like a baby every time I hear it. Funky Cold Medina isn't about roofies, it's about Spanish Fly, this texter says.
Okay.
Or another substance that makes you randy, baby, yeah. That's what he's saying.
Does Spanish Fly actually work? I remember reading about that when I was in magazines, you know, those little ads in the back. Not like the, you know, bad magazines. There's a little classifieds, you know. I was right for the free booklet on how you can go from a 98-pound weakling to a He-Man or some other things. And then there
yeah,
was,
there's always
know,
stuff like that.
Spanish Fly. And I was like, what the hell is that? I never tried it. I know
it's a wrestling move. I think it's basically like
That would be cool. If you rode away for it, you open the door and a guy just comes in and just throws you to the ground. Here's your Spanish Fly. That's COD. That'll be $59.95.
Does the Macho Man Randy Savage elbow drop on you? By the way, this morning, Raw is coming to Louisville, WWE Raw, and Drew read the promo. He did a wrestling promo impression that was pretty good. I might play that a little bit later on in the show here to help wrap up. Let's see, wrestling move. Spanish Fly move. I want to say it's like an inverted shooting star. No, it's a moonsault. That's what I thought. Any move where the wrestler stands on an elevated position, grabs hold of the opponent, and performs a moonsault while still holding on to the opponent, driving them down to the mat. The move is also known as a solo Spanish Fly.
Or a routine Thursday in Washington, D.C. Anyway.
Also fair. By the way, did you hear the... Who did this sound? Who said it? The Alabama player basically saying that Nick Saban makes a bunch of D's jokes.
D's jokes?
Yeah, you're going to make me do it. You know, the whole D's nuts, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have it here. I'm going to play it. I forgot who... I actually dubbed this for process, and I forgot who the player is. But in a press conference, this got brought up.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on D's or
no.
All that.
No.
Charlie.
I think he meant encouraging ones like. So loud I can't get your reaction.
I don't know how to follow that one up, but just.
Okay, well, that's
the hidden audio right around here. I'm assuming that's like the SID saying nope.
Yeah, I'm trying to rein him in.
Knees or
all right, enough. We don't have to go there twice. All right.
Charlie.
I love the SID just basically diving in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
No, that's enough. No, thank you.
Thank you for that. You're a big Who, the Who fan. You're a fan of the Who. What is the best way to say that?
I do like the
Who's My Generation was controversial when it was released because of the anti-authoritarian bent of the song. So you think that might be why it was banned. You would be wrong. It was banned in their native England because the song, the BBC felt those who stuttered would be offended at Roger Daltrey's vocal delivery.
Honest to God, I love that song. I love the guitar, but and the lyrics are great. It was just hard on the ear. I didn't like the stuttering of Roger Daltrey either. I felt like it would have been better if he just sang the damn thing.
Well, he stuttered. But they had the same thing, Ben, when Bachman Turner Overdrive did their song. You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet. People were like, oh, that's going to offend people who stutter.
See, I don't know. That one felt like it was more just like a... with the lyrics, like the whole generation, it wasn't as easy on the ears, like baby, like that sounded more like, you know, singing, not stuttering,
right?
Like
right.
The you know, and I love The Who, don't get me wrong, I love that song, but just to me it was just like it wasn't
annoying.
Yeah, it was just it seemed unnecessary. It was like throwing Jell-O on pot roast. It just was like, okay, you know, it's still good, I guess, but just why? Oh, by the way, my Bet Rivers Twitter poll of the day. We didn't do one yesterday. Mm-hmm. Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. So, Blankenbaker, we got to discussing yesterday. Today is which Wednesday. We got to discussing yesterday. Somehow, it organically came up about sandwiches. And Blank likes sandwiches, but he said, I'm just not a sandwich guy. And, you know, he's like, I'm more of a taco guy. And I was like, I respect that. I love me a good taco. Love me a good burrito. But I am definitely a sandwich guy, just like Crane is. We're sandwich folk. And then we got to talking about, like, cold cuts. And Nate came out with a bag of beef jerky. And I guilted him into giving me some of it. And then I was like, man, I really do love beef jerky. I was like, after steak, beef jerky might be my favorite form of beef. And then... even though he's not a huge sandwich guy, he still enjoys a good cold cut. Blank was like, well, I don't know. He's like, what about pastrami? And then I was like, shoot, what about roast beef? And then it was like, well, what about hamburgers? What about meatballs? And then it just kind of spiraled into, what is your favorite form of beef?
Okay. And?
And I feel like that could be a good Twitter poll.
Well, put it up there. The problem is...
but narrowing it to four is going to be tricky.
Well, you're also going to have a problem because, you know, steak itself has many... are you a New York strip? Are you a...
No. See, no.
T-bone?
No, because that's another whole... No. We will just strictly keep it to steak. Steak, you know, can be, yeah, porterhouse, New York strip, T-bone, filet mignon, steak. Just steak. Steak is a great word, too. Steak just seems to be, like, meaty. It's a meaty word, steak. So I think the choices should be steak, jerky, cold cuts. But, see, I feel like that's a little bit...
cold cuts?
I feel like that might be a little too broad.
Well,
because
what other beef cold cuts are there besides roast beef?
Corned beef, roast beef, pastrami.
Well, I mean, I think you got to be specific.
I love pastrami, too. I also love corned beef. Roast beef is good too. I feel like I'm just gonna have to just do cold cuts. I think cold cuts, steak, jerky, and hamburger.
Cold cuts isn't gonna have a chance because not specific enough. People are gonna love pastrami or corned beef or, you know.
Yeah, but then but then it'll split the vote. Like I feel like the pastrami and corned beef.
I think if you really love pastrami, you're not gonna weigh in on cold cuts. I think it's just gonna go over your head. You're gonna sit that out.
I'm going to play with this. I'm going to play with this meat poll and see how we can make it work. But I definitely think there's meat on that bone, Jerry. 100%.
We want to know Wednesday. Louis Armstrong's wonderful song, What a Wonderful World.
Great song.
Was included on Clear Channel's banned list because the song was too happy. After 9/11, they banned it for a while.
Really?
On some level, the sentiment is understandable, but it's a sad testament to the state of the world at that point. That's true, because it's a wonderfully lovely, you know, happy, peaceful song, and they felt, well, now's not the time to play peaceful, happy songs. So that's kind of sad, but that's also true.
I get that thinking, but at the same time, I feel like a little bit of good news might pick up people's spirits. Did you know Lynyrd Skynyrd are not from Alabama? They are from Gainesville, Florida.
And yet they want to go to Sweet Home Alabama. Well, that's okay, because my guy John Fogerty, who became known for, you know, the bayou, singing about the bayou. That was all his songs were about the bayou. Had never been to the bayou when he wrote all the songs. He'd never even been there. He just kind of imagined what it would be like to be in the bayou. And then, you know, all these swamp songs, and, you know, that was his sound, and never been there.
All these songs, and WAP gets played on the radio.
And WAP? What?
I am not. I am not going to delve into that. You can look that one up on your own. Cardi B and Megan Thee
Stallion. Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Oh,
okay. Billie Holiday.
I thought you were making a reference to an Italian thing. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
There was the first couple times I heard that song, once my jaw got off the floor, and if you watch the video, holy cow.
Yeah, that's on the list, by the way, of songs banned. I just passed over it.
I was but after I got over the initial whoa factor, I was kind of like, yeah, that kind of sounds a little derogatory, a little bit like. Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit is another controversial song that was banned. That song was hated so much, some believe she was tortured and killed because she refused to stop singing it.
Huh. Do you know what Cardi B's real name is?
Not sure. I looked it up one time, but I do know that it has to do with Bacardi rum. That was the inspiration.
Belcalis Marlenus Almanzar.
Wow, that's a heck of a name.
Belcalis Marlenus Almanzar, known professionally as Cardi B, born and raised in Nueva York.
I know Nicki Minaj's real name is Onika, which I think is kind of pretty. Let's see here. I wonder who was brave enough to get Saban on a these nuts joke, that he would like it and say them for decades. Yeah, that is, you know, that's an underrated texter. Because I do kind of wonder who it was that introduced him to that. He seems like such a robot. It's kind of funny to me that, you know, he actually, you know, finds humor in random stuff. And I wonder who it was that said that and just tickled him. And so he started doing that forever. In regards to it's been a topic du jour. Do you want to give me 2 cents on this? And then I need one more read from you to wrap up the show. In regards to the UK troll that was hired by U of L, he was an adult when a lot of the trolling took place. A proper vetting wouldn't have had him in that position with that title, regardless of where he's been or his qualifications. That whole story has gotten crazy legs on something that I really didn't think was that big a deal. But it's got retweeted by Barstool, and now it's become a gigantic story. Do you want to give 2 cents on it?
Well, I mean, Eric Crawford, I thought, addressed it well. He was thinking about writing it, and then he thought, you know, it's a young guy, and I don't want to bash him to pieces over it. And this listener disagrees, said he was an adult when he did it. And, you know, and I've always been, you know, of the belief, as we were taught at ESPN, you take ownership of your words. So, you know, you said them, you own them. And so if somebody wanted to take issue with it and that had kept them from hiring him in the first place, I wouldn't have objected to it. I try and put myself, like when Vince said that it takes 1,000 people just to open the doors and get through one football game. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's an enormous business. And there's a lot of, I'm not trying to disparage the guy, but there's a lot of grunt work that's being done. And I'm sure that every one of those positions is not vetted as if they're going after a new athletic director or a basketball coach or baseball coach or anything like that. And you can say, well, they should, but okay, fine. But, I mean, the world is filled with situations like that. I mean, the football coaches who had to resign because it turns out they lied on their resume. They didn't have a college degree. They weren't even college graduates. I mean, Steve Masiello went through that. I mean, so, you know, I guess what you could say is, yeah, but they caught those people. But I'm saying that's true because they did much more vetting, which you would for a high-profile position like that. Guy was programming the scoreboard for messages. I don't think they did. But again, should they have? Obviously, it would have been better had they done it because they would have avoided all of this at a time they really can't use it. But I don't think, you know, I don't think he's somehow I'm doing, trying to do a substandard job now, because at one time he was rooting for, you know, a U of L guy, or I mean a UK guy, or rooting against U of L or whatever. Because I mean that's true everywhere. There are guys that get drafted into the major leagues by teams that, that were the rivals of the team they grew up rooting for, but they go out there and they play their heart out, because it changes once you become an employee. But
I said, yes, it, I said asking, it yesterday that I mean red or blue, eventually everyone's life kind of gets simplified to one color, and that's green. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, he is getting a paycheck, but I do understand how optically it looks.
No,
with everything else going
yes,
on,
I,
for sure.
You know, it's silly to have a guy on your payroll that's got that somewhere in his history. I mean, but it is, and then now, you know, like Kenny Klein came out and said, you know, he's matured into a, you know, a very respectable man and blah blah blah. And so, yeah, I mean, how much do you want to just bash him over the head for that? I don't know. If we all got bashed over stuff we foolishly said when we were young, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But yes, it would have been better if they'd vetted it and seen that and said, well, this wouldn't be a good hire for somebody trying to put in charge of fan experience. But I'll tell you what would be good for you. If you have chronic pain, knee pain, joint pain, well, then listen carefully, because now there are new treatments available, and we're not talking about surgery or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. And this is really exciting new stuff. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. If you've got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip or back, joint pain that won't go away, you need to check out these new treatments with astonishing patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, no surgery. It's amazing stuff, and telling you, the things that you see that are going on now in medical research, it's just a remarkable thing, and this is one of the branches of it that is very, very promising. Call now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics at 502-219-4636. If you're tired of dealing with joint pain, you want to get moving again, you need to learn more about how biologic therapies are changing the way we think about dealing with joint pain. It's exciting stuff. Don't wait. Call today. QC Kinetics, 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636 for QC Kinetics. There you go. All right, we got about a minute. Any other?
There's a couple. There's a crap ton of text that I'm not sure I'm going to be able to. But this one's funny. We want to know Wednesday. Bill Belichick introduced Nick Saban to the D's nuts joke. This was when, after their time, when they would call each other and say "What's up?" They still trade the D's nuts, and that's what she said. Jokes every Monday morning on the phone over coffee. I do kind of like the idea of the two of them just being robotic to one another, but broing out. That is kind of funny. Let's see, a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd stuff coming in here. We want to know Wednesday. Lynyrd Skynyrd, drummer, Artemis Pyle, was from Louisville, Kentucky. How about that?
Okay.
Most of their band members passed away are in a cemetery 5 miles from me in Jacksonville. Yes, Jacksonville. A lot of texters brought that up, that they are not from Gainesville. They're actually from Jacksonville, Florida. Cardi B's sister is named Hennessy, so people called her Bacardi. So that's why she chose Cardi B as her stage name. I knew it had something to do with Bacardi.
There you go.
This guy's saying, look up the story behind Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. It's very interesting. Dan Patrick got Josh Jacobs to talk about Nick Saban and the funny D's nuts jokes. Let's see here. There's a ton of these on here. I'm just not going to be able to get to all of them. Strange fruit lyrics were drawn from a poem by Miropol, published in 1937. The song protests the lynching of black Americans with lyrics that compare the victims to the fruit of trees. Such lynchings had reached a peak in the southern United States, gross, at the turn of the 20th century, and the great majority of the victims were black. So there you go, another little We Want to Know Wednesday nugget about music. It was a very productive We Want to Know Wednesday today.
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, this is what I'm finding out before I let it go, it was written by Randy Bachman, who's the writer for Rolling Stone record guy Dave Marsh called the song a direct steal from The Who, but an imaginative one. The chords of the chorus are very similar to the ones used by The Who and Bob O'Reilly, and the stuttering vocal is reminiscent of My Generation. Bachman insists the song was performed as a joke for his brother Gary, who had a stutter with no intention of sounding like My Generation. They only intended to record it once and then send the only recording to Gary instead. It turned into a big hit for the group. All right, thanks for everybody listening to us. We'll see you Friday. It's ESPN Radio.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.